I was thinking this morning about that old sitcom from back in the 70s, Sanford and Son, and how the main character, Fred Sanford, if he got himself in some kind of trouble or he got caught in one of his escapades trying to lie or something, used to fake a heart attack. He grabbed his chest with one hand, the other hand he was reaching out toward heaven saying, "I'm coming, Elizabeth," to his deceased wife. "This is it, this is the big one, I'm coming. Thought about that because of Elijah, you know, whenever he had enough and he says, "This is it, Lord, I've had it. I'm no better than my fathers, so take my life. Just take me now. I'm done with everything." And I think all of us in some way can resonate with that. And all of us get tired at some point and we feel exhausted from time to time. Our lives, our work, our duties, all these things can certainly physically exhaust us. The demands of other people for our attention, problems, worries that occupy our thoughts, work that involves a lot of mental activity, like research, going through facts and figures, etc. These things can exhaust us mentally. And just going through difficult circumstances of life, either alone or with others, can certainly drain us emotionally. And it's no secret. The world in which you and I live today is one of constant work, people working all the time. It's all about business. There's a lot of worry, a lot of agitation, and we're bombarded all the time with information on top of information, communications, demands, and we feel terribly divided within ourselves. Our minds are split apart, our attention is split in different places, and we all say that. If I could be in two places at one time, it still wouldn't be enough. I'd have to divide myself in quarters to take care of all the things that I need to do, people want me to do. Then what happens? When we get divided like that, we start feeling exactly like St. Paul said in his letter to the Ephesians. We feel bitter and angry. We're filled with fury. Then we begin to shout at people, revile people. We have malice toward them. It disturbs the soul deeply. And this isn't good. He says, "With this, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God." So we understand that these things are not of God. And the funny thing is, the devil doesn't always tempt us with sin. The devil will use good things. He will use good things and good intentions to exhaust us and drag us down to the point where we become bitter and resentful. It happens all the time. If I ask people, "Do you take time to pray?" "Father, I just don't have time." "Are you going to Mass every Sunday?" "Well, if we have time and if we can." "Are you spending time with your family?" "Well, if we can get to it." Rest, relaxation, recreation, for a lot of people, those words are simply a waste of time. Time that they simply don't have to waste. As they say, "I've got stuff to do, places to go, things to do, people to see, I've got money to make." I have two words for that. Two words. It's not English, by the way. It's in Hebrew. And those words are Shabbat Shalom. Okay, what's that? If you go to the country of Israel, or many times if you go to a synagogue here in this country, that's the greeting that you're going to hear on the Sabbath day, which for the Jewish people is Saturday, for us as Christians, Sunday, the day of the resurrection. But for them, it's Shabbat Shalom, which means Sabbath peace. That's their wish. That's the greeting. "I'm offering God's peace to you. I wish you Sabbath peace on this Sabbath, the day of God, the day of rest." We all know the story. God creates the world in 6 days, and the seventh day he rested and called the Sabbath day holy. And for the Jewish people, that was sacrosanct. That day was meant to be for God. Somehow, somewhere, we Christians have kind of forgotten that. We've let our daily lives turn Sunday into a day like any other. Mass is thrown out the window, family time thrown out the window, trying to rest the body, the mind, the soul. Why? We've become so driven by the almighty dollar that everything becomes the same and we're wearing ourselves out to our own demise. So again, Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace, Sabbath peace. The Sabbath is God's gift for peace to bring us back into communion with Him, communion with ourselves, obviously, and with one another. He's given you and me this day and this particular time at Mass to be able to let go of those things, let go of the anxiety, let go of the bitterness, let go of the fury, the anger, the shouting, the reviling, to get rid of all of those things, to take a step back, take a breath, and to be in His presence. To be in His presence and surrender everything to Him. For 1 hour a week, He's asking us to stop, to pause, and to listen. We come into his presence as the body of Christ together in church to rest our bodies, rest our minds, rest our souls, and to listen to him. Listen to his word, listen to the sermon, listen to the Holy Spirit. To surrender, to listen, to resolve, and to act. He's asking us to put into action the things that we resolve to do this Mass after hearing the voice of the Spirit. To use this, the Lord's Day, beginning on Saturday night, just like the Jewish Sabbath, the night before, all through the rest of the day, to be in God, to come back into communion once again. And God realizes that we need spiritual food just as we need physical food. The prophet Elijah had a great task ahead of him to preach the word of God to the people who were turning against him. And of course, he felt exhausted. And so God gives him a chance to rest and gives him a hearth cake and a jug of water that prefigures the Eucharist. And he says, get up and eat, else the journey will be too long for you. He got up, he ate and he drank, and strengthened by that food, he walked 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of God, Horeb, where he received the message he was to give to the people. The Eucharist is that food that gives us the strength to act. The Eucharist brings us into communion, that is a common union with Jesus. We surrender our hearts, our minds, and our souls and bodies to him, and he in turn gives us his own body, blood, soul, and divinity in this most blessed sacrament. So with that, he tells us to be done with the murmuring that we see the Jewish people complaining against him. Be done with murmuring, be done with complaining, be done with cynicism, criticism, disbelief, and instead replace that with praise and thanksgiving, with trust and adoration, believing instead in him who is the living bread that came down from heaven. As I said, sometimes we might feel like Elijah, and that's to be understood in the Old Testament. We feel like maybe nobody else around us has faith anymore, as the people in Elijah's time didn't, as they turned away from God. We look at some of our family and friends, and they don't go to Mass anymore. Why should I? Nobody else seems to be serious about being a better person. Going to heaven, nobody cares about that anymore. Again, it's living for this world only. And if you try to live your faith and people notice that, what happens? You get laughed at, you get mocked, maybe even get persecuted by somebody for your loyalty to Christ and his church. And people do that. Yes, they will scoff and they'll ridicule. They might even push you away and ignore you. So what? So what? We know what God expects us to do. God wants us to be happy. God wants us to be at peace. And there's only one way. There is only one way. And he is that way. We all know. Can separation from God for the sake of human beings bring us joy? It never does. Does giving in to our weak human passions through temptation and sin give us peace? No, it doesn't. Is self-preservation, looking out for yourself, looking out for number one, and doing that alone through greed and isolation or fear or suspicion, does that bring us any happiness? No. Only love. Love for Christ, love for one another, the pursuit of holiness, justice, peace, and patience, only goodness, only these things can thoroughly fulfill and refresh us. As we read in Psalm 34, look to him that you may be radiant with joy and your faces may not blush with shame. When the afflicted man called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress he saved him. And so as St. Paul says, look to the Lord. Be filled with the presence of Christ in the Eucharist and be kind to one another, be compassionate, forgive one another as God has forgiven you in Christ. Seek that peace and that reconciliation that comes from our worship of Christ in the Eucharist, our reception of Christ in the Eucharist, and the fruits of the Eucharist. Be imitators of God, as St. Paul says, as his beloved children, and live in love. Live in love as Christ loved us and handed himself over for us as a sacrificial offering to God. As Christ offers himself to us, today we offer ourselves for him, to him, for him, in all things. Get up and eat, else the journey will be long for you. Whoever eats this bread, Jesus says, will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Shabbat Shalom.